Thanks, Zach. Thanks, everybody, for helping up here on stage. Give them a hand. They do a good job up here. This morning, I want us to return to our sermon series on being faithful in the, from the book of James. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to James chapter 4. I do want to say thanks for all the people that went out to Mount Carmel yesterday. We had 35 people. And I said, well, I don't know if we can get this bus up Taco Tier, so we may have to go to McDonald's. And they said, no, we're going to Taco Tier. So I said, all right, I guess you're the boss. So we had a good time skating, and at least some of us watched from the sidelines because we weren't brave enough to break a bone. But no broken bones to my knowledge, but we had a good time yesterday. There are a few of them walking around kind of gingerly this morning. I've noticed that, but that's all right. In our study, we looked at being faithful under trials. We've looked at being faithful in our listening. We've looked at being faithful in doing our deeds. We talked a lot about the tongue. You remember that? You'll never forget that one. How important it is for us to listen more than we speak. And then we talked about being faithful in wisdom. Then we come to Christmas and the New Year's. And I want to get back to being faithful by drawing near to God today. Now, next week I'm going to be gone. I'm going to go with Gavin Bellinger, so pray for me. And we're going skiing, or should I say tubing. But I've tried to get Tim to substitute for me, and he won't do it, so put the good word in. I've got about 5 days for that to happen, but I don't think it's going to work. So pray for us next week as we take a group up there, and Jim's going to be preaching for us. Thank you, Jim, for being willing to do that. But also, we're going to meet at 4 o'clock today. If you want to input on some of the high school activities that we do, we'd be more than happy to have your input. And some of you adults are thinking, but what about us? Well, we're going to talk about you too. We're going to have some meetings, and we're going to do some things during the spring and summer. One of them will probably be going to Patty's in Grand River. Has anybody been there before? I'm going to do that. Talked about Hilltop and back to McKinley. But you adults deserve some trips too. And I want to take a group to Senior Saints of Smokies. Just out of curiosity, how many of you are interested in that? Both of you? Okay. We're going to need more than Linda. But it's a great time. And I'll brag on Johnson just a little bit. It's the best thing this side of heaven. I'm not just saying that. I'm serious. You will not regret it. So I encourage you to go. Well, if you have your Bibles open, let's look at James chapter 4. I want to focus just on three verses this morning. Beginning with verse 7, James says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up." Submit to God and he will what? He will lift you up. Now, we have a hard time with that in our quest for drawing closer to God. And I truly believe as we get older, we should draw closer and closer to God. How many believe that? Oftentimes, as we get older, we become more discouraged and we draw further and further away from God. We don't mean for that to happen, but a lot of times it does. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you feel like you're as close to God as you've ever been in your life right now? One person. Two person. Well, don't raise your hand on this one, but how many of you feel like that you are about as far away from God that you've ever been in the history of your life? Don't raise your hand. Because I believe there are a lot of people in our world today that don't feel like they're close to God. Matter of fact, they feel like they're far away from God. David, the King David, man after God's own heart, wrote these words, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of what? The valley of the shadow of death, still I will fear no evil." Jeremiah the prophet, I couldn't find it. I had to search for this. Write it down. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 44 says this, "Lord, you have covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can get through." Now, I want you to be honest with me. How many of you ever felt that way before? You prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you read and you read and you read and you feel like, Lord, there's a cloud between you and I and my prayers aren't getting through. And I want you to know, if Jeremiah, one of the most faithful prophets in the Bible, can feel that way, there are going to be times in our life when we feel like that our prayers are not getting through. But I want you to know, they are getting through. God is listening. And when we draw away from God, it's not because God moved, it's because who moved? we're the ones that move. And I have found that one of the ways we draw away from God is we fail to pray like we're supposed to, and we fail to read God's Word like we're supposed to. So when people come to my office and they say, I'm depressed, I'm discouraged, I feel like God's not listening to me, I'll ask a couple questions. How much time have you spent in prayer? Well, not much. How much time have you spent reading God's Word? Well, not much. Well, it's no wonder you're discouraged. And it can happen to any of us. If we fail to pray, if we fail to read our Bibles, it's no wonder we draw further and further away from God. I want your goal for 2022, and we can call it a theme if you want to. I want you to draw closer to God. Is that a good theme? Draw closer to God. And learn to pray more. Learn to pray with your families more. Learn to read God's Word more with your families so that they too can draw closer to God. Because James doesn't say that God might draw closer to you. He says he will. He will draw closer to you. Now pay close attention today as we go through these notes. Open your bulletins, because I believe there are three keys, three ways in which we can draw closer to God. They're right out of the text. Nothing fancy about today's sermon. James 4:7 tells us to submit to God. Submit yourselves then to God. Now in America, I want you to know, submission's a cuss word. Everybody say, submission's a cuss word. Because we don't like to submit. Husbands don't like to submit their wives. Wives don't like to submit to their husbands. We don't like to submit to the governing authorities. We don't like to submit to anybody. Submission is a cuss word. In wrestling, Daniel's here. He's a wrestler. I wrestled. Benson wrestled. Brian wrestled. Any other wrestlers? Brandon wrestled. Missed that. Those are fun times, weren't they? Wish we could do those again. But you know, if we are in wrestling and we succumb to submission, what's that mean? We lost. And if you're in the Ultimate Fighting Championship, which probably none of us are, if somebody gets you in a chokehold, you know what you do? It's very humbling to tap out, because we will go as long as we possibly can. We will almost die before we say, okay, I give up, I submit. You know, I found that to be true in the Christian life. God says, submit to me. And we say, no, I can't do that. I'm busy. Or, I'm not used to submitting. I'm not used to giving up. But here's what God is saying. Until you learn to submit, until you learn to give up, until you learn to give it all over to me, you'll never be the person I want you to be. That's tough. Now on your bulletins, the word submit is a Greek military term, which means to get under the command of a leader, to get under the command of someone else. And if you've ever been in the military, a bunch of you have, raise your hand, how many have been in the military? All right, thank you for your service. In the military, you better get under your commanding officer. You better get under your drill sergeant, right, Sonny? That's why Sonny is so humble today, because he was so submissive to his drill sergeant. He said, Sonny, dig a hole. Sonny said, okay. Sonny, put your hat on straight. Okay, I will. He submitted. And when you submit to your military officer, your days in the military will go so much easier. Well, I think that it's also true with God. When we learn to submit to God, when we learn to turn it completely over to Him, and we learn to say, God, I can't do it by myself. I'm done trying. I submit to you. I'll let you do whatever you want with my life. I submit to you. Let it be done. Then God will begin to work something great in your life. When my father was dying, he was 64 years old when he died, and we realized that God wasn't going to heal him. So we changed our prayer. You know what our prayer was? Lord, your will be done. Now, how many of you have to do that before? That's tough. You lose somebody close to you, a brother or sister or mom or dad or whatever it is. You learn to pray after a while, Lord, whatever your will is, let it be done. And I prayed that. It was hard. Because I had this big knot on my back. You remember when your family, loved ones got sick, you had this big knot in your stomach. It wouldn't go away. Because we kept praying and praying, and it wasn't getting any better. So then we prayed, Lord, whatever your will is. You know what? The knot went away. Now, did God recover him? No. He did recover him to heaven. But sometimes we want to keep people on earth, and God says, no, I want them to have a better life. I want them to go to heaven. And that's tough to pray, but I want you to know, when we are baptized believers in Christ and we are living the way we're supposed to live and we are submitting ourselves to God, heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven's a place we ought to welcome and be ready to go. And if you're struggling with submission to God, then maybe you need to change that today. I love the story of Job. Matter of fact, it's probably my favorite book in the Bible outside of Romans. God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And if I were Job, I'd say, "Wait a minute, Lord. Time out. Hold the phone. I've been faithful to you all these years, and you want to turn me over to the devil?" And God's basically saying, "I know you're going to pass a test because you're faithful. You're submissive to me." And God allowed him to go through some things. He allowed Satan to take his family. He allowed Satan to take all of his livestock, all of his servants, all of his kids. And all he left him was a nagging wife who basically said, "Curse God and die." And he said under his breath, "Get away from me." Jeremiah hadn't written anything yet, but I know he was thinking about Jeremiah, where Jeremiah says, "I'd rather live on the corner of a roof than live with this nagging woman." He's probably thinking about that. But Job passed the test. And God blessed him because he submitted completely to the Lord. And even though Satan was allowed to come into his life, he was faithful. Let me ask you something. When Satan comes in your life, are you submissive to God? Are you faithful to him? No matter what comes your way, good or bad, are you submissive to him? Are you faithful to him? Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." That leads us to our second point. If you want to draw closer to God, we need to learn to resist the devil. James 4:7b says, "Resist the devil and he will" what? He'll come near you? He'll say that. He says, "Resist the devil and he will flee." He will run from you. I don't know about you, but I wish Satan would run much more than what he does now, don't you? I just wish Satan would leave everybody alone. I wish Satan would leave me alone, would leave you alone, would leave the church alone. I wish he'd learn to leave relationships alone, finances alone, leave the church alone. Amen? I wish he'd just leave it alone. But you know what? It's not reality. Satan's going to bug you. He's going to bug me. He's going to bug the church. And James says, resist him. Run. Flee from him and he will flee from you. You see, I want you to know something and remember this. Satan cannot trump the things of God. He cannot trump the things of God. Can I get an amen? He cannot trump the things of God. What God meant to be will happen no matter what Satan does. In 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9, Peter says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." What's he say? Resist him. "Stand firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Friend, I want you to know that Satan's goal today and tomorrow and the next day is to kill, steal, and destroy you. You think he cares about you? He don't care about you. All he wants is company to join him in hell. That's what he wants. And he's going to do the very best he can at getting people to fall. When Satan came to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, you can flip over if you want. Satan says this, "If you eat of the tree that God told you not of, will you surely die? But instead, you won't die, you'll be like God." And what did she do? She ate of the tree. And then Adam listened to his wife, and he ate of the tree. And guess what? They died. And guess what? Unless Jesus comes in your lifetime, guess what? You're going to die too. It's all because of Eve. No. It's because you and I make some of the same dumb decisions in life that Adam and Eve made. And because of those dumb decisions, we die a temporary death if we're Christians, and then we get an eternal life. I'm not going to say you're going to get new wings, because some of you don't deserve any wings, and I don't either. But you are going to get a new life, amen? You're going to get a new life. Satan doesn't just want to destroy you. He wants to destroy your eternity. And that is his goal. Now on your sheet, you should have A, B, and C. Fill them in. Sometimes the devil will try and deceive you through his appearance. I think we got this big misconception that Satan runs around with a red outfit and a long tail with horns, and he's carrying a pitchfork. Well, that's not the Satan. That might be deceived. People deceive you by showing you pictures of Satan. That's not him. Sometimes Satan comes in the form of people. Sometimes he comes in the form of things. And he's all around you. How many believe it? He's all around you. And he can come in your back door, your front door. He can come in any door he wants. And he's all around you. And he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Not only you, but your family. How many of you, I want to see a show of hands. How many believe he's working on your family? How many believe he's working on your family? He's trying to keep them away from the church. He's trying to keep them out of God's word. He's trying to keep them out of prayer. And he's winning in many of our families. And I want you to know, we need to learn to resist him. Resist him. And you kids, I'm going to pick on you a little bit today. Some of you are at the age of dating. Be careful who you date. Be careful who you date. Be careful who you go out with. And my mom used to always tell me, she's probably listening, I appreciate this, don't ever date someone you wouldn't marry. And I thought, that's the dumbest advice. I'm just going to go out as a friend, Mom. And she said, don't ever date anyone you wouldn't marry. And 50-some years later, I say, thank you, Mom, because that was great advice. Have I ever dated a woman that I wouldn't have married? Yeah. And on the way home, I said, gosh, my mom was right. My mom was right. Kids, be careful who you date. If you wouldn't marry them, don't go out with them. Don't go out with them as a friend. That's dumb. Can I say dumb from the pulpit? It's dumb. Don't put yourself in a situation that you might regret days later or years. And here's another one, kids. Remember this. If you think you're going to change them, you're crazy. Because 9 out of 10 times, 99 out of 100 times, you will not change them. Instead, they'll change you. And it won't be for the better. Use a little common sense. Resist the devil, because sometimes the devil works through relationships. If you're doing something that you know is wrong, stop doing it. Stop doing it today. Resist the temptations and the trials that Satan puts on you, and you do what God tells you. You be pure. You do what the Bible says. And get rid of the people that cause you to sin, who cause you to do things and say things that are not right, that jeopardize your salvation. Get rid of them. I tell my kids, we tell them all the time, you're different. Zachary, Gracie, and Macy, you're different. You're not supposed to act like the rest of the world. You're not supposed to do what other people do at school. You're different. Be different. And yeah, they're going to laugh and they're going to ridicule. You know what? It's worth it. It's worth it to spend eternity with God. Be careful who you hang out with, who you date. And if they're not a Christian, don't go out with them. Amen? Don't do that. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, write it down, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what does fellowship have with darkness? I know what many of you are thinking, well, there's not been nobody out there. Well, there is somebody out there. You just have to look harder. You've got to go to the right places. If you marry a child of the devil, watch out, you're going to have trouble with your father-in-law. You'll get that later on. Jesus said in Matthew 7:15-16, watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them, because a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Are they bearing good fruit in your life? Are they positive? Are they Christian? Do they think and talk about the things of God, or do they think and talk about the things of the world? Next time you guys and girls go out on a date, I want you to ask this question. Is this person sitting next to me, are they a child of the Lord? Are they a child of God? Because if they're not, you very kindly say, I appreciate you going out with me, but I'm a Christian. And I want to go out with someone else that's a Christian. You learn to put your faith before relationships. Amen? Learn to do that. Here's B. Sometimes the devil will try and deceive you through our words. He may say words that come out of the Bible, but they're not really of God. They're just words of the Bible, and he's taking them out of context. This is how cults are started. Some people will take one passage of Scripture, and they'll start an entire new religion out of that one passage of Scripture. The sinner's prayer is not biblical. You can't just say the sinner's prayer and get saved. That is not biblical at all. My Bible says, repent of your sins, confess Jesus to be Lord of your life, and be baptized. Have you ever noticed that in the sinner's prayer they don't even mention baptism? Well, isn't that kind of funny? Because on the day of Pentecost, when the people ask what they must do to be saved, Peter said what? Repent and be baptized. He didn't say repent and say this pretty little prayer. It is a pretty little prayer, I'll admit it to you. But unless you mention baptism in that sinner's prayer, it's not of the Bible. Now, a lot of ministers aren't going to like to hear what I'm saying today, but I don't really care what they think, because this is what the Bible says. Repent and be baptized if you want to be saved. So be careful with words. Be careful with the music you listen to. And if it says F this and F that, take it and throw it. Burn it. Don't, so somebody else won't get it. And if it has sexual connotation throughout the music, take it and burn it. Amen? Get rid of it. Watch out with your words. Watch out with the music that you listen to. I know a lot of people say, I don't really listen to the words, I'm just listening to the beat. Well, you're still supporting that evilness by buying that CD. Somebody's getting rich off the fact that you bought it. Don't let that happen. Watch your words and watch your music. Number C, sometimes the devil tries to deceive us by speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you remember what happened in James chapter 16? James is telling his disciples that he would eventually have to go to Jerusalem and he would have to suffer many things at the hands of the elders. What did Peter do? He pulled him aside and he rebuked him. And he said these words, Lord, never shall this happen to you. And here's what Satan says. He humbled him. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. What you say are not the things of God. Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, tried to rebuke our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and Jesus put him in his place. And he said, leave me alone, get behind me. And Satan was working through Peter. And when the people, while Jesus was being whipped, said, you know this man. And he said, what? I don't know him. How many times did he tell him? Three times. But you know what? Jesus forgave him, didn't he? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? How many times? Three times. He reinstated him. And on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that 3,000 souls were added to the church on that day. Satan was in Peter. But Jesus got Satan out of Peter. And Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to know today, through your baptism and your repentance and your confession of faith, you too can receive the Holy Spirit. Friends, there will be people that ridicule you. They ridicule the church. They ridicule your family. They ridicule the things for what you stand. But let me tell you something, that's okay. Resist them, because they're of the devil. On Christ, a solid rock I stand, finish it. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty miracles or works in your names? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. From the English translation. Friends, beware of those people who look and who talk like children of God, because in reality they're of the devil. If there is not a good tree, a good bearing fruit in their life, resist them, run from them. Well, there's a third key James mentions if we want to draw closer to God, and that is we must learn to humble ourselves before God. James 4:8 says, come near to God, He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He'll lift you up. How many of you want to be lifted up today? Look over at your neighbor and say, I want to be lifted today. I want to be lifted today. I didn't tell you to say anything else, just I want to be lifted today. Don't you want to be lifted today? Don't you want the Holy Spirit in your life? Don't you want to resist the devil? Don't you want to submit to God? Don't you want to draw nearer to God today than what you were yesterday or 10 years ago or 40 years ago? Don't you want to draw closer to Him? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. I love I don't love Muhammad Ali and what he stands for. I love the fact that he was magic in the ring. He was a great boxer. Amen. He was a good boxer. He was the best. He was on an airplane one time and sat down in a seat, and he wasn't going to put on his seat or his belt. He said, no. He told the stewardess, says, I'm Muhammad Ali. I don't need no seat belt. And she said, yeah, Muhammad Ali don't need no airplane either. So right there's the exit door. And Muhammad Ali put on his belt. Sometimes we just need to humble ourselves before God and the people around us. And God says, if you do that, I'll lift you up. Matthew 23:12 says, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Do you know anybody? Raise your hand. Do you know anybody that likes to be exalted? They like to exalt themselves. They say, hey, look at me. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. I'm doing some great things for the kingdom. Really? Who told you that? Who told you that? One of the best ways you can humble yourself is submit completely to God. Submit completely to Him. The problem is, people don't like to be humbled. They don't like to be told what to do. They don't like to be told where to go. They don't like to humble themselves. They like to strut their stuff. So look at the person next to you and tell them, quit strutting your stuff. Quit strutting it. It's time to quit. And submit yourself to God, and He will lift you up if you'll quit strutting your stuff. One of my favorite preachers, you don't know this, you know, Bob Russell's one of them, but here's another one. His name is Russ Blowers. Anybody heard of Russ Blowers? Probably not too many of you. I don't know if Judy has. Russ Blowers was the senior minister at East 91st Street in Indianapolis, Indiana, and they ran thousands of people each Sunday. But what you don't know about Russ Blowers, he was one of the most humble men that ever walked planet Earth. When we go to a conference, you know, you'd always see Bob Russell and Ben Merrill and all these big wigs sitting at the table. Well, in comes Russ Blowers, and guess where Russ Blowers sits? He sits over with the guys running small churches, the ministers of small churches. And the big guys, they look over and say, well, Russ Blowers over sitting with these no-life preachers. You know, they got little churches. We got these big mega churches. We're strutting our stuff. We're big stuff, you know. And Russ Blowers stayed there the whole time. He never got up. But that's not all that Russ Blowers did. He would pick up trash in the parking lot. He would help pick up Christmas decorations and take them down. He would help put them up even. And I just want to say something. Just because I'm your senior minister don't mean that I can't bend over and pick up some trash. Just because I'm your senior minister doesn't mean that I can't help Jane Benson put up Christmas decorations, even though she don't like the way I put them up sometimes. Can I get an amen? It irks me when I'm around preachers who think they're too good to do that stuff. Because I want you to know something. You're a servant of the Lord, and so am I. And sometimes we need to humble ourselves. We need to bend over, pick up some trash, sometimes clean the baptistry, put the Christmas decorations up and take them down when comes time. Because if you can't do that, I question whether or not you're really a servant of the Lord. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Friends, that's a church. And if you want to do the work of Christ in your life and in your church and in your family's church, learn to submit to Him, resist the devil, and humble yourself before Him. And I promise you, from the bottom of my heart, God will lift you up. Everybody do that. He'll lift you up. And maybe you're here this morning, and you need to submit to God. You've been going down this path, you know it's a wrong one. And you need to submit to God today. The invitation for you. And maybe you're here this morning and the devil has really got a hold of you. He's got a hold of your family. He's got a hold of your relationship. And you need to do something. You need to walk down here this morning and say, I need prayer because the devil's got a hold of me. The invitation's for you. If you're here, you're not a Christian. You need to humble yourself before the Lord. You need to confess Jesus to be Lord of your life. You need to repent. And you need to be buried in the watery graves of Christian baptism. Let's pray today. Father God, we start a new year out by submitting to You, by resisting the devil that tries to come in the front door, the back door, any way you can get in. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you today. Lord, help us to be the people, the sheep of your pasture. Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you today. Lord, I know there's some people here today that need to humble themselves, get back on track, to resist the devil. They need to submit to you and be humble and say, I need prayer. Lord, help them do that today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.